the Oz Indie Show, Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Been playing a bunch of great stuff, but live on the blower at the moment, I have Emery. Victorian, is that right? Your friend Victoria?
Yeah. I do live in Melbourne now. I grew up on the Sunshine Coast, but I was born here and now I'm back.
Okay, welcome back. Well, all good stuff down in Melbourne.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, Emery, I'm going to go back. We do have your latest track, which we will be playing, but you've done an awful lot of stuff apart from that. But I want to know how it started. Were you just a young tacker when you were singing, or how did you get involved in the music industry?
Yeah, so my earliest memory of my music career is watching Australian Idol when I was 4 years old, and I'm pretty sure I announced to my parents, I was like, I want to do that, I want to be a singer. And that's pretty much what I did from there. I don't think I ever changed my mind from then. I might have, like, I've definitely done some lots of different avenues of the music industry, but that has never changed. And I was lucky enough to have supportive parents who were like, cool, we believe in you and you can do that. And they were very happy for me to do that with no backup plans. That was really great.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. My immediate family isn't crazy musical. Like, my dad learned classical guitar when he was younger. And a lot of the time, like, growing up, my family would kind of have big campfire jam sessions, but that's pretty much like the main extent of the music, the involvement with the music industry in my family. I kind of just had to figure it out all on my own.
I'm glad that they were supportive. Was it a surprise to them that you wanted to do this?
No. No, they saw it coming.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Now, from there, most people would think, oh, okay, you went straight into singing and songwriting and stuff. And you did do some of that, but you then also went into producing. So how did you move from one to the other?
Yeah, so I grew up, I think growing up on the Sunshine Coast, it's a pretty small scene and very limited kind of, especially when I was there. It's actually a lot better now, but when I was growing up, it was basically, you know, you're kind of exposed to a lot of folk music and that kind of stuff. So yeah. I really grew up on that singer-songwriter kind of path. And then I moved out and I went to Brisbane to study uni. And I had no interest in production at that point, but it was a compulsory unit that you had to do in first year.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with it in that first year. And once we got to second year, I was in there until 3 a.m., like as many nights as I could be. And I would sleep outside the campus and be back at 8 a.m. in the morning. And I wanted to get my hands on all the gear and use the studios while I had them. The reason I started doing it professionally was because just after uni, I actually lost my voice and I couldn't sing for 4 months. And so I started reaching out to artists and asking if I could produce for them. And then I pretty much never looked back. It just kind of snowballed from there, and I was lucky enough to turn it into a bit of a career on its own.
Yeah. So how did you go producing it? Did you have to hire studios or use the university, or have you been able to build something at home or what?
So since then, so it's been a while since then, I actually teach at a university now.
Oh, wow.
So I have had a combination of being able to use a few studios that I have access to, and a lot of it I just do at home. This one kind of traveled into a few different rooms with me. Part of it, I know we spoke about just before we started the interview, but part of it I completed at a studio in Brisbane that I was fortunate enough to have a residency with.
And then
a lot of it was at home, and then I did the vocals in a studio that I have access to in Melbourne as well.
Okay, I'm probably jumping around on your timeline a little bit.
That's fine.
You also won an APRA Studios residency. Now, just what does that entail?
Yeah, so 4000 Studios is a relatively new kind of, it's basically it's like a community of producers, audio engineers, composers, songwriters kind of thing. And they've set up like a home base in Brisbane where they have all these different little production suites and studios. And yeah, they had teamed up with APRA to offer a month residency for a producer or artist to work in there. And yeah, so I got a dedicated space to myself, which was amazing. And I got to be part of their little community events, which was really cool. And they even did like a little bit of mentoring with me, which was just so amazing. And yeah, it was such a great opportunity.
Yeah, because things like that, once you're involved and sort of plugged into the production community, it opens up a whole load of doors with people of other skills and you're able to use, and possibly other artists as well. How do you go about finding artists to produce?
Usually they kind of come to me now. I'm lucky enough that I've kind of gotten to that point. Pretty much all of it actually just came from Instagram. Like I at first was, when I very first started, I would reach out to people who were posting on like Facebook groups. Like a lot of the time it was in Melbourne musicians or things like that. And then once, you know, they would come to the studio and they would post me on their story and their friend would see me on their story and they'd go, oh, cool, a producer. And then, and it would just kind of go from there. So a lot of it is the power of word of mouth and social media.
And once you start to do kick goals for other people, word gets around.
Exactly, yeah.
So now you've moved to Melbourne. Are you finding you have to rebuild a whole lot of contacts down here because we're so far apart?
Well, I've been down here for about 2 years now, so I feel like I've got enough of a home base here, which is great, and it's such a good community. I've had so many opportunities since moving down, which has been really cool. There's so many good organisations in Melbourne, like The Push and a few other youth organisations that provide a lot of really cool opportunities for young people in music. I've found it to be a really supportive community, so I didn't find it too difficult a transition, which was good. And the great thing is that I can also work remotely, so I can still work with artists in Brisbane and wherever else that I'm working. Yeah. So, yeah.
So what type of artist is attracted to you as a producer? Different genres or they're a whole mix or...?
I definitely work in different genres. I'd say probably the ones who reach out to me the most are probably aligned with the genre that I work in, which is R&B, soul, and kind of leaning on pop a little bit. So I'd say those are probably my most popular people, but I've produced country. I've produced, kind of different. I actually really love producing folk. I produced a folk album a few years ago, done jazz trios. Mm-hmm. I've done a whole heap of things, but I'd say I definitely specialize in like R&B and soul and like vocal heavy works.
Yeah. Of those genres, who are the easiest ones to work with and who are the most difficult, you know? I suppose the jazz musos, are they nice and free and easy or are they very, very particular compared to, say, pop or whatever?
I think it depends on the people. I would say the easiest people for me is probably probably the R&B genre, purely because it just comes so naturally to me, so I can do exactly what I would do for one of my songs. And usually it'll align with what their vision is.
Yeah.
So I'd say usually just the more difficult ones are genres that I just don't listen to as much. Like if it's like hyper pop or something really rocky or something, that I just will have to think a little bit further outside of what would naturally come to me and really kind of analyze the genre or their references that they've provided. But I haven't had many bad experiences. I've been pretty lucky. So yeah.
You started releasing your own stuff. And then you went into producing for others, both in Queensland and then down here. But now you're starting to do more of your own projects again. So is that because you're just itching to get these songs out of your head or have you found you just have more time now?
I think basically, so I did have a guinea pig project when I was obviously younger, doing that kind of singer-songwriter thing. And I just kind of used that to experiment, work out what my sound was. And then it's been a good 2 years since I released anything. And I just took the time to really develop my sound and really work out exactly what I wanted to be in my writing and production and things like that, and just hone my skills. So I spent this whole year just writing so many songs. I've got so much coming, which is very exciting. And I kind of just really wanted to get to a place where I was producing and writing things that just felt consistent with like I guess for lack of a better word, like a branding, but also just feeling like authentic to me. Because I work in so many different genres, sometimes I can kind of end up writing in lots of different genres and it ends up a bit messy. And I think this is my debut single, felt like it was setting me up for something that was going to be, I was going to be able to maintain and be consistent with.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the word branding there, and it brought to mind you've had some success on platforms that are fairly new in the music industry, especially when you're talking to someone old, things like TikTok and Instagram and that. How important are those platforms to a musician nowadays?
I think something that I think is important, and I've even said this to artists that I'm producing for or working with, is that it's important to realize that though social media is very important, I think you do need to have a presence on there now, but it still isn't the only way to do well. So like if your song doesn't go viral, it doesn't mean that your song is not going to do well. Like it doesn't mean that you should just, you know, throw it away. There are so many other avenues as well as, you know, as social media. So I think it's good to be consistent on it, and it's good to be basically, especially with TikTok, you know, you got to post pretty often on that kind of a platform, but I don't think you need to be spending your entire life creating TikTok branding unless that really aligns with how you want to do your craft, which for me, I'm very grateful for the platform and what it's done for me, but I don't want to spend more time making videos on TikTok than I do making music. So it's balance. It's a balancing act.
And with marketing, as an artist, you'd want all the hits and likes and follows and everything on those platforms to translate into sales. So how do you go about that? Do you find those platforms actually help generate sales, or do you rely more on older traditional platforms?
I think they definitely can. And I think TikTok is quite powerful in that a lot of the time it can convert pretty well to streams. It's definitely so far done pretty well for me. But also the thing is with TikTok is that the whole thing is based off an algorithm that everyone's guessing.
Yep.
So one day it can show, like for like one of my videos blew up to 1 million, and then the next day it'll show it to no one or whatever. So there's a bit of strategy and a bit of consistency and also a bit of dumb luck in there, to be honest, and like, trying to play an algorithm that no one actually knows. Mm. So, I think it can do well, but I also think it's not the only place to put all your eggs into, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket kind of situation.
Yeah. Now, you're a producer for other people. Mm-hmm. Do you actually feel comfortable producing to yourself, or have you gone out to have someone produce for you for your tracks?
No, this one was all produced by me. I actually played all the instruments as well. I do like to sometimes have other people involved, but I don't think I could ever just get someone else to produce a song for me. I sometimes get someone else to mix it and or master, because I do like to have like another set of ears, and sometimes I'm too busy mixing everyone else's stuff. I don't have time to finish my own, so if I don't outsource that, it'll never get done. So I think it's like worth it to get that extra set of ears and just get it happening. I definitely like to collaborate, and I have situations where I do collaborate with people, and I also have a lot of friends who produce, so we kind of, you know, help each other out on projects where, you know, I'll press record for you and you do some guitar for me, that kind of thing. I definitely don't think I'll ever be a person who goes to someone to produce an entire track for them. But maybe, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
So you're a singer, songwriter, producer. Do you also play instruments on your tracks?
Yeah, so I played all the instruments on that track.
Yeah.
I played guitar, I played bass. I don't play bass that well, but I'm pretty good at editing it, so it's fine. And I played keys, and obviously I did all the backing vocals. I made a choir out of myself. And then I also actually played classical flute, so there's actually flute at the end of the track, and that's real, that's me.
That's amazing, yeah. You can do it all.
So it's fun that way.
Once you produce all the stuff and produce it all and mix it and everything, get it all recorded finally, how do you go about marketing it? Are you also a marketer?
I mean, I've been doing it myself just because I'm independent, but I'm hoping that that won't be the case for forever in terms of just marketing. But yeah, I think the best thing to do, and like I would always encourage other artists to do this, is like, don't be afraid in this day and age to like wait for your song to be, you know, ready to go and then start marketing. I think you have, like, I am very casual on TikTok, and I think leak demos and share little snippets and things like that, because that's how they take off. And if you can be flexible with your release plan, which is what I was for this,
yeah,
like I did not intend to release this as early as I did, but it blew up and I had to jump on it. And that's, I think, the day and age we live in, where you've got to jump on the hype where it is, and if not, create a release plan and just roll with it. But yeah, I think it's good to be a bit flexible and just kind of see what people are liking. And it's kind of a cool way to market research your songs and see what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
So.
Now, releases digitally through these platforms, do you also plan on producing a physical CD?
I will. I really want to make vinyl, because I love collecting vinyl myself. So I think that will probably be more where I'll head, but that'll be closer to when I'm getting ready to finish my EP.
Yeah.
Which is in the works.
Mm. Yeah, vinyl's a big thing nowadays again.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Putting it out on vinyl doesn't stop people getting it. People really enjoy that. So.
Yeah. I think it's just, it's that nostalgia and that, it's like, you know, anything. It's like fashion. It's music has the same trends. Like, even in styles, like a lot of the music that is coming back and a lot of the music that I make is reminiscent of the 90s, or I use a lot of Motown references and things like that. And it's just recycling trends in new ways. And I think that's exactly what's happening with that whole vinyl trend. And it's better to have a physical thing than to not have something at all. So I think it's really cool.
Yeah. Now, you have released this latest track, Leave You Like a Man, but it will come out on an EP, as you've been saying. Do you have a timeline for that? Like, do you need it out before the end of the year, or are you going to concentrate on it next year, or what?
I've got more singles to come first, and then I'll go from there.
Fair enough. Before we get into the track, there's one question I ask a lot of artists who come on the show, and it's interesting the different answers I get. Emery, where do you plan to be in 5 years?
Oh, man, I always get asked this question. I think it's difficult, because my career is a bit of a funny thing where I'm balancing that producer-artist lifestyle. But I always say I ideally would love to be like Mark Ronson, because I think he has this really cool thing where he is, obviously everyone knows who he is, he's a massive producer, working with all these artists, doing all this mainstream stuff, but he also has this really cool, quirky artist project that he can still, you know, people still come to his shows and he can still sell out decent venues, but I think more people know him for his production. So I think something like that is where I hope to head, because I just love being in the studio. Like, I can be in the studio all day, all night, every day, and I just love it. So I hope to kind of continue that, where I can just be, and it also means I get to be a part of so much more music, because everyone's releasing things that I'm a part of. So I think that's where I hope to be.
Excellent. Now, we will talk about the track, Leave You Like a Man. I'm going to ask, is that sort of autobiographical? What sort of experience led you to write this track?
So it was, it's not too literal. I'm not often like very literal in my music writing, but it's usually inspired by some events, which it was. And it kind of explores a few different things. It explores kind of my first experience as a single woman in her 20s. I ended a 6-year relationship when I was 23. And so it was me experiencing the world of dating that it is in modern times, which is often pretty mediocre and not particularly enjoyable. So, it was a few different experiences from that. It was also a friend pissed me off one day, and so they worked their way into it as well, and just a combination of a few different experiences. What I love about this track is that it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Like, it kind of also explores sexuality and a gender identity for some people, and that's what's been so cool about these platforms, is like I had 800 people make videos with this song, and it was used in so many different contexts, and that was really cool to see.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's always good to hear people not just use your track but appreciate it so much in so many different ways.
Yeah, it's really cool to see people connect and, like, show me different ways, different meanings that I wouldn't have come up with on my own, which is, yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Emery. It's been great having a chat with you. And
thank you.
I'll keep an eye on your name on other people's stuff as well.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, listeners, we are going to hear Leave You Like a Man. This is Emery. And once again, thank you very much for being on the Oz Indie Show.
Thank you.
And the best of luck to you in your EP that's coming out. We'll keep an eye out for that too.
Thank you so much, Greg. Thanks for having me.
No worries. But if you're gonna love me like a woman, I'm gonna leave you like a man.
But I've been eating right to stay inside for me.